Oh, those pesky hackers. Hack, hack, hack. Hackety, hack, hack. It's the news. According to me. Good Wednesday morning. It is November 20th, 7.06 a.m. Actually, 7.07 a.m., I guess. Eastern Standard Time. I am here for you. For your entertainment. For your news and analysis. Mostly just analysis. At least the first part of that word, anyway. So I have... I have a cup. Let's just talk about my cup first. I have a cup full of chai with Almond Joy creamer in it. This is my combo chai. It is big sky or big train, vanilla chai with Pacific Island chai. Kind of a combo going on there. Mix them up together. It has a little bit, the Pacific Island chai has a little bit more spice to it. Has a little bit more of a, just very, it's very subtle. But the, you kind of catch it just once in a while. But most of the time it tastes pretty creamy. Actually, it turns out pretty good. Maybe I should just buy that in bulk. Mix it myself. Sell and brand it myself. Maybe just sell my own brand. That's what people do all the time anyway. And of course, in my backup cup, I have a cup full of apple cider. That's it, just apple cider. Not even any ice in there, just apple cider. Cold apple cider. It's good. Good stuff. Oh, goodness. I went down to a place. It's kind of weird how, you know, there's a place where I grew up. It's called Syracuse, in Wawasee, in the village of Wawasee, Syracuse, Indiana. The address I had was actually Cromwell. It was on the other side of the lake. There's Indiana's largest natural lake is Lake Wawasee. Right next to it is Lake Syracuse. And then there's another smaller lake to the south. It's called Papakichi. I used to ride my bike around that lake twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. It's about a 17-mile ride. Back when I was young and spry. What's amazing to me is I really don't, I feel like I could do it. I feel like I'd get in shape to do it again. I could do that every day. And even at my age, I'm sure I couldn't recover. I'm not sure I'd probably have to sleep the rest of my day, probably be in traction and have ice baths and saunas and, you know, whirlpools. I don't know. But I feel like I could do it. I don't have any pains, aches, or joint. You know, I don't have that much going on. Physically, I don't have any issues. I feel like I could. But I'm sure if I did it, I'd probably feel it a lot. It would take me a lot longer to recover. I could recover in a day and be doing it again. Then I don't know. I just don't know. Whether I could get in that kind of shape again or not. Well, I mean, I was doing that twice a day. And I was also teaching martial arts twice a day, two classes a day, and I doing other workouts as well. So I don't know that I could do that again. So I was at one point I was training for the Olympics. I thought I was going to go to the Olympics in '88, and those hopes and dreams got. Crushed, I'd say. So was it 88? I don't think it was 88. 84, maybe. Whenever the Olympics were in Korea, South Korea. When was that? I get my years kind of mixed up here. I think because I don't think it was before I went to Bible college. Olympics. Korea. It was 88. Well, it's interesting that I would have been training to go there for the 80 Olympics. Now, what ended up happening, it was going to be an exhibition sport. Taekwondo was going to be an exhibition sport at 88. And then it was going to become an official. So I must have gotten ripped off at some point. But it was 84 when I went through the AAU competitions and got ripped off because they messed with the timer guy. Kind of ripped me off. And we didn't notice it until we were watching videos of this afterwards. We were watching videos of everybody's competitions and the sparring competition. I got one thing I was always really good at was form competition, and I didn't even place in that in the AAU state competition, which was really weird. Because I'd go to Chicago tournaments, I'd go to Detroit, Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, and I was placing. Sometimes I was getting first place in forms competition, and when I went to the forms competition at the AAU, I didn't even qualify. However, because of my weight class and the lack of people in it, I ended up being not an extra, it's kind of a standby. I don't know what they call it. I would have been able to go and sit as a standby person, whatever. At the nationals, I did not go. Just didn't have time and money. But I think I was, how old was I back then? It was probably, what was I, 22? I don't know. Yeah, something like that. This was back in 84. Yeah, so I would have been 21. So I didn't pursue it any further than that, just because I was so, my life took a different turn. Didn't go any further with that, but those are the days. What was that, 40 years ago? About 40 years ago. Yeah, almost exactly 40 years ago. Anyway, I was in better shape then, to say the least. Now I just sit around drinking chai, talking on the microphone. Talking to my faithful followers. There's some stuff going on politically right now. And most of it's kind of flaming up with this whole thing with Gates. Elon Musk and Donald Trump are forming a quite unique relationship with each other. What's interesting is how much Trump was recently at a launch of a SpaceX. SpaceX, whatever his thing is. Must be SpaceX. And so it was a launch of some kind of rocket. And they're watching that, and it was, they're there together, and a whole bunch of other Republicans were there, a bunch of folks were there. Mitch McConnell is in the news. Mitch McConnell was supposedly, the rumor had it that he had said there were not going to be any recess appointments. So they're talking about this whole Matt Gaetz thing. Well, all of a sudden, this whole issue of him in the ethics committee has now flared up. Now he resigned from the office. He resigned from Congress as soon as the appointment was made for him to be potential. So theoretically, Congress has very little to do now. They can't really punish the guy. They can't censor him. They can't do anything with him now. He's no longer in office. He resigned. There's some kind of strategic moves being played in this whole thing. He didn't stay in office, potentially. Marco Rubio is potentially has a place in the cabinet, and he's staying in office until this thing's over with. Keep in mind, Matt Gaetz was going after some of these guys for some salacious stuff, and he has the receipts to show some of this stuff. About that time was when all these allegations about Matt Gaetz came up. Now, if you notice a pattern here with all this stuff always happens this way. Merrick Garland, who would have absolutely railroaded Matt Gaetz off to prison if he could have done it possibly, and he would have done it in a heartbeat if he had the evidence and everything, the case was actually real. The problem they ran into with this whole case against Gates is that the allegations were not credible. They deemed them to be suspicious in nature and lacked credibility. These people that were out, they came forth with these allegations. The allegation is he paid to have, with some kind of 17-year-old, and there was somebody else there watching the whole thing. So there's two witnesses. The person who... Now, so the ethics investigation was supposed to be under seal with the Department of Justice or whatever it was. This whole thing was supposed to be under seal with whatever... Because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a political expert here. I'm just a guy with a bunch of opinions. Been around a while. Well, supposedly this whole thing, what ended up happening here was... There was a leak, or not a leak. It was some hacker. Now, I don't know anybody with the technical skills available to hack into the government-secured document warehouse and specifically go after one guy who gives a rip about Matt Gaetz. Nobody with those kinds of skills cares unless they're being paid, first of all. And they just specifically go after that. So a hacker got into this. Was it WikiLeaks? Was it Assange? I seriously doubt it. The reason that the no charges were ever brought to Matt Gaetz was because it Justice Department deemed that it was not credible. But that won't come out. All you're going to hear about in the news is all the allegations. They're going to read the report. The report got into the hands of the media now. Now, do you notice a pattern here? That the Republicans are the ones that are always getting attacked. And it's always nominees, and it's always right about the time that they're being pushed into a position or being... You know, brought into a position where they can do damage to the leftists. Think of all the salacious, ridiculous allegations. And I think that Trump won because of all the salacious, ridiculous allegations brought against him. It gave him more credibility that we're fighting against this corruption. Because they got to the point where the allegations were just ridiculous. They're so off the hinge that it's just... It's pathetic. It's just you can't help but fight for the guy. There's still a sense of justice in the heart of our nation, I think. And when they start coming up with all this, and that Merrick Garland is the instrument within all this stuff that all this stuff's happening. There's all planning behind the plotting behind the scenes. If you understand how these people get their appointments and the deals that they make with the people in power, you would understand why they act the way they do. So, in the midst of all this, of course, then you get. Yeah, I'm not going to go down the road. The pattern here, with people like Kavanaugh. And I could add just a handful of others that have just come to mind in the most recent future, the most recent history. They always come out with these, Well, even the governor of Florida and Kristi Noem, she killed her dog. Where'd all that go? Where'd the nation's rage for that gun. She could be possibly in the, I think she's going to be in the cabinet as well. And yet nothing ever comes out with the Democrats. Nothing, because they're on the agenda. First of all, this hack was not a hack. I will go down if it was hacked by somebody who was paid to hack it. And it was, this was a leak, folks. This was not a hack. This was, truth be told, maybe by the end of the day, maybe if there's ever an investigation on this whole thing, that we ever find out the truth on this. It was not some hacker who just happened to, some kid in his bedroom with a laptop hacked into the Justice Department, got, just happened to get Matt Gaetz's file. This was either a professional hit job, or it was an insider who leaked it out, probably the DOJ. Somebody, this is, the FBI is famous for this. They are terrible, terrible in their handling of, well, I guess maybe not necessarily they are, because they seem to be getting away with it. Either they're terribly incompetent with the way they handle evidence, letting it get hacked, letting it get leaked, losing it. Oh, it got corrupted. Files got corrupted. Oh, somehow when we were getting ready to transport that over to the Congress, it got deleted. Oopsie, whoopsie. Oh, well. Sorry. My bad. What you going to do about it? Because we got all this dirt on you. Who's willing to stand up and take aim at the FBI here? Because we got, we'll just pull out, who's going to be, we'll just decide who we're going to, whose dirt we're going to pull up on you. Just keeps them all quiet. So. I don't think this was a hack job at all. I believe this was a leak. And I believe it was leaked intentionally, not necessarily with the purpose of any kind of conviction, any kind of legal, you know, civil penalty, criminal penalty, whatever it was. The only penalty that will be seen here is the reputation penalty. That's what that's the, all they can do is they can pull this out, smear it around, and ruin him. Well, the problem is they've got a president who is very familiar with this kind of attack because they've been doing it to him for the last 8 years. And he doesn't take it very kindly. He doesn't take it very seriously. Well, he takes it seriously. He just doesn't take it very credibly. He's pushing forward with Gaetz. And you know that if they're pushing back this hard on something, there's probably a reason why they're pushing back this hard. It's all the more reason to put him into that place. We'll see what happens here. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. Now, Mitch McConnell was called on the carpet. He actually had a press conference and he was actually talking to people, like almost lucidly. They were talking about how, everybody's going to be treated the same way as we've always treated everyone. There's a process to advise and consent, and when everybody's going to do this and. We're all going to do this the way we've always done it. And, of course, the reporter asked a perfect question right after that. Are you going to deny the president recess appointments? Which every president has always had. They've always had the opportunity to have recess appointments. So if he's saying he's going to do it the way they've always done it, and supposedly... He was making comments. Supposedly, this is all rumor. He came out and denied that he said it and made any kind of decision on recess appointments. The problem with this is, and this is where the president has the power to do this, the president can call a recess for Congress. The president has the power to do that. He can get his own recess appointment just by saying, you guys are now in recess, and I'm going to appoint this guy. Now, the recess appointments have to eventually be confirmed in this, but that can be put off for years. A recess appointment can step in, and my understanding now, I guess, is that they can operate fully within their bounds for years as a recess appointment. So we'll see what happens here. But I frankly believe there's some dirty business going on behind the scenes with this whole thing. They're going to try to smear. We're going to see another Brett Kavanaugh escapade. You know, what's her name? All these actors and actresses will come out behind the scenes and stare at him and go through hearings or whatever. It just, all this stuff's going to happen because they're so passionate about protecting people. Ridiculous people. I'm going to be a grumpy old man. So we have, I guess I'm already past that stage. I'm beyond grumpy old man. I don't know what goes beyond that, but I'm beyond that grumpy old man plus. So that's one thing. Now, the other thing that's happening, people are starting to realize, hey, Joe Biden's trying to get us into World War III. My understanding is they've already launched some missiles, and now Putin has changed they had this nuclear doctrine. They have revisited that and changed some things in it. Now, this could all be saber rattling. I don't know. But part of their ideology behind, you know, when will we use nuclear warheads is being tweaked a little bit. And the whole thing has a lot to do with this whole missile. Why would Biden do this? Do you think he would have done that if they would have won the election? I don't think so. Now, of course, everybody's blaming Biden on this whole thing of, and again, I asked this question yesterday. How does it work for the person who's running for office, who steps down from the campaign, all of a sudden coronates the next candidate? Doesn't the DNC have something to say about that? Can the president just, I'm going to now, because they're claiming that he was ticked off. This wasn't the DNC's fault. This is Biden's fault, because when he stepped down, they told him to step down, and they were going to have a little primary or something, I guess. And instead of doing that, he just endorsed Kamala Harris, and it pulled the rug out from under him. Why didn't they just step up and say, no, that's not how it works. Those are the rules. He can endorse whoever he wants to, but we're still going to have a primary. He is not the DNC. Unless there's something I'm not understanding about this. I think, and of course he probably won't, because he doesn't understand what's going on around him. He needs to step up to the microphone and say, just because I endorse her doesn't mean they had to have her. I'm not in charge of the DNC. Joaquin Jeffries and some other, and whoever's the chairman of the DNC. Let's find out. I got the World Wide Web right here in front of me. DNC chairman. Let's see who it is. Jamie Harris. Is it Jamie Harris? I think it is Jamie Harris, actually. DNC chair race kicks off as Canada. Yeah, Jamie Harris. I think it's Jamie Harris. Current chairman of the DNC is Jamie Harris. They're looking for a new chairman, apparently. I don't see any pictures of Jamie Harris here anywhere. Harrison, who has held the position since January 1st, 2021. He is responsible for leading the party's efforts in election and organizational strategy. So how did this guy suddenly get... Now, Ken Martin is the guy who's being... Probably going to replace him. They don't show any pictures here of the current Jamie Harris. Let's go to the Wikipedia page. Let's go to Wikipedia, Fred. Oh, okay. I've seen this guy before. I don't know if he's a congressman? Or he was a congressman. I don't know what he is. He's a lawyer, American lawyer, politician who is... He previously served as the chair of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Harrison is going to run against incumbent Senator Lindsey Graham in 2020. Doesn't say what I don't know where he's, what, he's, what he, kind of office he's held. It's not really upfront with about what he's done. Apparently ran against Lindsey Graham for Senate. This guy apparently didn't step up. Now Gretchen Whitmer is the vice chair of the DNC. Tammy Duckworth, Ken Martin, and Henry R. Nunez, Tom Perez was the former one. All right, so there you go. There's the history of that whole thing. Not like we care. So, why didn't this guy step up and say, this isn't how it works. These are the rules. Here's how we're going to do this. With all due respect, Mr. President, we can endorse whoever you'd like, but we're still going to have a process. Where was that conversation? Personally, I think that they just wanted to throw him under the bus if they're going to go with that and just throw him under the bus if it didn't work. And that's what they're doing now. In the meantime, of course, he's doing all this stuff with Ukraine and everything else that's going on. So this is becoming very pathetic, really, so many ways. Okay, so we'll see what happens with all this. I don't know. It's going to be, I don't have a whole lot of time to do a real long show here this morning, but it's being reminded of, I have my little calendar reminder pop up here and remind me that I have something to do. I totally forgot. So I've the point of all this is that there's so much turmoil going on behind the scenes right now with the Democrats. They're running scared. Many of them are running scared about what's going on. They got the Diddy list on one hand. That's, you know, it's all the celebrities are really scared of. You've got the politicians that are scared because of the Diddy list, as well as because of what's happening here with Matt Gaetz and what potentially could happen with him coming after them. We'll see how that all works. Then, of course, you've got the border issues. All this is being kind of shadowed by each, you know, there's so many things happening that people are struggling to. I don't like the fact that we've got so much time between elections and the inauguration. It's just that gives them so much time to just tear things up and really set traps for the next administration. And that's what they do. Now, of course, this whole Joe and Mika thing from Morning Joe was very telling in terms of, okay, we probably better straighten up and play ball. Probably better lay off the rhetoric. Of course, that's not happening everywhere. Trey Gowdy, who I used to have so much respect for. When I first came on the scene, I thought this guy was really something. Now he's not in office anymore, but he still has a voice. Of course, yeah, I think he's a contributor on Fox or someplace. Might even have his own show. I don't know. This guy has turned out to be a very, we got that Southern drawl, but he's very, very well spoken, you know, prosecuting attorney or whatever he is, who has turned out to be really a waste of breath. He now is joining forces. He doesn't like Gaetz for whatever reason. I don't know why. Doesn't like him. Maybe he's jealous. Maybe that's what it is. But he turned out to be, you know, somebody who would get up there and grandstand and go through these congressional hearings and do nothing. It turned into nothing. He's the one who went after Hillary Clinton. He's the one who, you know, him and Jim Jason Chaffetz or whatever his name. It turned out that he didn't do anything. He chaired a committee and didn't. It was just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. We're finding out all this dirt and nothing ever happened. He's just a toothless wonder. And maybe his hands were tied. Maybe he couldn't do anything because of the system or whatever. What he wants to blame it on. I just think it's all for show. Of course, then you get a show on Fox. Of course, because, you know, you're good at the show. turned out to be a very disappointing deal. I was a big fan of his initially when things started happening. He seemed like he was on point, and then it just fizzled out. And he's even coming out against gay. I caught more and more winds of establishment. And one of the things he came out and said recently was, well, you know, I'm going to take a lot of flack for saying this, but, you know, we got to hold the principles and blah, 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 blah. One of the things that you'll find here is that these people sometimes, they want to be overlords. They don't want to be representatives. They want to overlord over us with their ideals. And even though the majority of people want something, they will back down from that, and they'll push back against it and say, well, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you don't understand what your job is there as a representative. Because your job is not to impose upon us your will. Just because you got elected, you were elected by people who wanted you to represent them, not lord over them. It wasn't approval of you and your ideals. It was an approval of your ideals to protect our rights. Your ideals should be the people, the ideals for the people, not the, you know, what the people's ideals are. That's what how you proceed to defend those rights is why we elect you. Now, that's not necessarily what the majority of the electorate thinks anymore, but that's what we should be doing. And that's what the Republican Party should be educating the electorate on, is what the founders intended, why it's so important that we preserve and protect it. Because people don't even understand their government. They don't understand what their rights are anymore. There are people who actually believe that the Supreme Court, in fact, there are people sitting in Congress today who believe that the Supreme Court gave us our rights, that Congress gave us our rights, all kinds of weird stuff like that. There was a guy that got up right after the initial passing of, they had their big celebration and they were doing all their high fives. And they got Obamacare passed. One of the congressmen stood up and said, of all the rights this Congress has given its people. Excuse me? I think what it says at the beginning of our founding documents is these rights were given to us by God. Now, if you don't believe in God, you can say natural rights. These are natural rights of humans. Not rights. They're recognized by Congress. They weren't given to us by Congress. If they're given to us by Congress, that means they can be taken away. Congress recognizes that they've been given to us, that we were born with these rights. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, property, due process, all those things that are in the Bill of Rights. They weren't given to us by Congress. They were recognized by Congress. They're recognized by the people, and we have a contract that we allow them to govern us at our consent. So there you go. That's my little talk for the day. And I don't think that the Republican Party has done very well at educating people. In fact, even Rush Limbaugh, in all of his time, he did an excellent job. Don't get me wrong. It's no comparison. But in all of his time, there needs to be like an hour-long show every day of someone just educating people on what the founding founders said. Ron Paul has done a pretty good job of it. Even he just touches on things, and there's not really any kind of in-depth, real discussion about it. I hear my background music coming in. It must be time for me to be done. So, folks, I will probably have a show tomorrow morning, even though I'm going to be traveling out later in the day. Should be a show tomorrow morning. And I'm hoping to have some audio clips for you. Because hopefully I'll be doing very little today besides sitting around waiting for them to call me, other than this one appointment I have in the morning. So, God bless, folks. Have a great day. Pray for our nation. Continue to pray for this transition period. It's going to be very tumultuous. And pray for each other, that we all have peace. God bless, folks. Have a great day. Take care.